the midst of the storm. This morning, I found myself just being in that place where, as the singers were singing, I was reminded about the saints of old who have gone on before us. But I believe that they are compassed around about us. And I feel their presence as they give testimony to the goodness of God. They give testimony to the faithfulness of God, even in a time like this. I would like for you all to consider with me this morning the gospel recorded by John. I want to talk to you about a guaranteed life. A guaranteed life. John chapter 11, verses 17 through 26. It reads like this. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said to her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? Guaranteed life. Let us pray. Father God, we come before you just one more time. We thank you for being the God that you are. So merciful, and so kind, and so gracious, unchanging, so mighty. Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you that you allow him to endure what he endured, to die on that old hill so long ago. God, we thank you that on the third day, you got him up out of that grave. And that gives us hope to face tomorrow, joy in the midst of sorrow. So Father God, we come now asking that you were to use us one time, Lord, speak to your people. Give us an on-time word. Feed our hearts. Bless our spirits. And we'll give you all the praise. We'll give you all the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I said that the thunder is beginning to roll. We're in the midst of a storm. I think that Mary and Martha also in the midst of a storm. It was not a physical storm, but it was a storm of their faith, a testing of their faith. You all are very familiar with this story. Mary and Martha had lost their brother Lazarus, had taken sick. Some 4 days earlier, they had sent a message to Jesus, telling Jesus, Lazarus, whom thou lovest, has gotten sick. The implication to the message was that we need for you to come and see about us. This story is an unusual one in that Jesus did not get into a hurry. The Bible says that he stayed where he was for 2 more days. He stayed put for 2 more days. Even told the disciples, don't worry about it. Lazarus' sickness is not unto death. Basically implied that he's just resting. But when Jesus gets there 4 days later, it would have taken a day for the messenger to get to Jesus. Jesus delayed another 2 days. It would have taken another day for him to travel to Bethany. 4 days, Lazarus was already dead. He must have died right after the messenger left to tell Jesus because he had been dead for 4 days. Picture in your mind Jesus coming into the village. Martha going out to meet Jesus. Feel the heart of Martha. As she said, Master, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. If you hadn't taken so long, if you had just done something. Many people in the world are feeling that way today in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic. So much suffering, so much sorrow, so much dying. Lord, where are you? We need you. We're calling on you, God. We need you. Yeah, feel her pain. Jesus says unto Martha, your brother will rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. I know that there's a day coming. She knew that. She had heard Jesus teach about it before. She would have known the scripture. She knew that there was a day coming, but that was no good to her right now. Sometimes I think that is that way with us. We have a faith in terms of knowledge. We have a head faith. We can quote the scriptures. But sometimes you got to move beyond the theory, move beyond just the knowledge to a personal awareness. I'm a scientist. I'm a scientist at heart. I love to study and to investigate, to learn why things are the way they are. I believe in Einstein's theory of relativity. I believe he was right when he said that light travels at 186,000 seconds. Per mile, 186,000 miles per second. I believe he knew what he was talking about. I believe that Newton knew what he was talking about when he said that an object at rest will remain at rest until an external force acts against it. I believe that he knew what he was talking about when he said, for every action, there's an opposite and an equal reaction. I believe those things. But sometimes that's not enough. I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. I believe it. I believe that God is sovereign, that God is in control, and that nothing happens without His knowledge and without His permissive will. I know that. Maybe there are those listening to me who say, I believe that there's a God. And that's good, but there comes a time when that alone is not enough. Or even the scripture says that the devil in hell believes because him tremble. Martha said, I know that in the last day, I know that someplace in the future, in some abstract day in the future, that I know that he'll live again, but he's dead now. Now I'm in pain. Now I'm suffering. There are moments in my life, and I can't speak for you, where I become overwhelmed by the present circumstance. I become overwhelmed about what's going on in my life at that moment. Jesus, I called for you. I sent for you. Where were you? There are times when I look around me and there's so much suffering, so much dying, so much death. And no matter what we try, no matter what medications we prescribe, no matter what recommendations we give, death comes. Sorrow comes. Despair comes. And I find myself in that place of helplessness, and so my knowledge is not adequate. Jesus says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Martha said, I know he'll rise again in the last day. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. I think what Jesus was saying to Martha and saying to us today is that it is not enough to just know that God is. It's not just enough to know, but you got to have. Jesus said, your knowledge of the resurrection is not enough. You need the resurrection. And I am the resurrection. You need to see, Martha had an incomplete faith, and I think that's all of us. We have this incomplete faith. But this morning, my challenge to you is deepen your faith. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yes, shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Shall never die. Jesus is resurrection. Preacher, I don't get it. I don't get it. Well, way back in the beginning, Adam sinned. God said, the day you eat of the forbidden fruit, you will die. You'll surely die. And Adam ate, and Adam died. And yet he didn't die, but he died. He died from the grace of God. He died from the presence of God. He died, and then he had to leave the Garden of Eden and go out away from the presence of God. You and I also dead. We were once dead before we came to know Christ. Life, sin, death. The Bible declares that the wages of sin is death. We have all sinned. We're all sinners. The writer said we are born in sin and we are shaped in iniquity. We are sinners. And where there's sin, there's death.
Yes,
Jesus stays with us this morning, but I am resurrection. You don't have to live a dead life. You don't have to be dead. You can be alive because I am life. The resurrection tells us that death is not victorious. For many, this Easter season is about the cross. Oh, don't get me wrong, I glory in the cross. I'm thankful for the cross. But for many, it's just Jesus still hanging on the cross. Jesus on the cross. Jesus suffering, Jesus dying on the cross. But the symbol of Easter is not the cross. It's an empty cross and an empty grave. Jesus put down the cross and thank God he did because his dying on the cross atoned for us. His dying on the cross paid the sin debt for us. Oh, you have heard us say it. He paid a debt that he did not even owe. He paid it for us because we had a debt that we could not pay for ourselves. Jesus dying on the cross paid our sin debt. When he died, he said, not that he was finished, but that the task, the job was finished. The payment for sin had been made. It's like he took the sin debt. He marked across the note, paid in full. Finished. He became the propitiation, the satisfaction for our debt. Justice crowd, satisfied. But when Jesus said, I am the resurrection, death has been defeated because the debt of sin has been paid, satisfied. Sin is taken care of, but what about death and dying? If Jesus had just died, and that was it. Our sin debt would have been paid, and yet we would still have death because we would not know what it is to live again. But Jesus rose on the third day morning. I was reading the Gospels and they said it was early in the morning and one of us said it came as it approached dawn. It was still dark outside. Still dark outside. I heard Luke said the angel said to the women, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Jesus got up out of that grave on the third day early in the morning. He said, for us now, I'm not resurrection, but I'm also life. And not just life in the hereafter, not just life in the last day, but I'm life now, I'm living now. We live because Christ is in us. If he lives, then we live. The writer said, we died with Christ, and now we live with Christ. We have life. And then we have the promise of life beyond this life. Jesus says to Martha, can you believe this? Can you believe this? I don't know about you, but I believe it. My parents believe it. My grandparents believed it. The saints of old have believed it. But can you believe it? Can you receive Christ personally for yourself? Can you come to know that Christ is resurrection? Christ is life. It's not that he just gives it, but that he is it. I I guess, as I said, Martha had that incomplete faith. I'm sure she would have heard how he had raised the son of the widow woman at Nain. I'm sure she would have known about how he had healed Jairus' daughter. Now, both of those cases, they hadn't been there for very long at all. As we say in our vernacular, they weren't even cold yet. The Lazarus had been there for 4 days, even if the Jews' theory had held that the spirit hovered over the body for 3 days, it was 4 days, and the spirit would have been gone. But at that moment, Jesus says to Martha and then to Mary, "Show me where you lay him." They take him, but he said, "Come, roll that stone back." They said, "No, it's been 4 days. Roll the stone back." And they rolled the stone back, and Jesus gave a simple command. "Lazarus, come forth. Come forth." The Bible says that Lazarus came forth. For Martha and for Mary and for you and for me, Jesus took that opportunity to show us something, to show us that in Christ we never stop living. When he said Lazarus come forth, the soul of Lazarus, which had departed, had to turn around and re-enter the old frame of Lazarus that was decaying in the ground. So we entered Lazarus. Lazarus came forth, still bound in the grave, in the grave clothes. It was just a brief moment in time. He gave us a glimpse of eternity. It reminds us, as Lazarus was still living, his soul was still living. The soul of all the other ones who have gone on before, they're still living. They're still living. When you and I must get farewell to this world and leave here, oh, we'll still be living. Because we're in Christ. The Bible said that if you're in Christ, if you're in Christ, you're still alive. But as he talked to Martha and to Mary, he was talking not just about the physical, not just about the little short physical life we have, but about life. Our lives don't stop once we are placed into a grave. We continue to live. I'm glad this morning that Jesus got up early on the third day. I'm glad he got up. Because now when he has gotten up, now that he's gotten up, now I know that even when I must go the way that all must go, I don't have to worry because I'll still be living. And my loved ones who are going on, I don't worry about them because they're still living. And one day, we'll see each other again when the dead in Christ shall rise. Well, Paul said it well. He said, "One day this corruptible must put on incorruption and this mortal must put on immortality." And then death will be swallowed up in victory. It will be then that we'll be able to proclaim with the saints of old, "Oh death, what is that sting? Oh grave, where is that victory? The sting of death is the law." But I'm so glad this morning. I'm so glad this morning that the free gift of God is eternal life. We have guaranteed life. Here you can buy an insurance policy on your life, but sometimes they'll say that it's guaranteed, but it's not really guaranteed. It's not the same. Hopefully, if the insurance company has not gone defunct, it will pay off. But the only guaranteed life there is life in Jesus Christ. He said, "He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life." Jesus did get up. He sent the women on that missionary tour to tell the disciples to meet in Galilee. And there, he said, come on, brethren, count on me. Put your fingers in my hand. Put your hand and hold my side. I heard him say, yes, Lord, we believe. This morning, do you believe that Jesus wants to guarantee your life? And that even when our existence here on earth is done, we'll still be living. And we'll fly away from here. Oh, the hymnist said, it's some glad morning when my life is over, I'll fly away. Thank God for the guarantee that we'll continue to live forever. And one day, we'll see him. In my quiet time, I found myself just thinking, oh, I want to see him and look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares are past, home at last, forever to rejoice. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, what better time than this morning to come? He died for you. He defeated death. He paid the debt of sin. And he rose on that third day to let us know that victory belongs to him. An empty cross and an empty grave are there to prove that our Savior does live. If you can say this morning, Lord, save me. Save me. I'm a sinner. I'm in need of Savior. Save me. I need to know you in a personal way. Save me. You're Savior. If you're willing to say, Lord, I surrender. I surrender. I got to give him. I surrender. Come the Lord of my life right now. Your Savior. If you can say that, Lord, I believe that you died. I believe that you rose again. I believe that your blood is good enough, strong enough, mighty enough to save even me. Save me. Your Savior this morning. Wherever you are, you need to bow your head and say, Lord, please save me. I surrender. Save me now. And he'll do just that. We invite you to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Good news. Good news. And he lives forevermore. And he reigns forevermore. And you too can have guaranteed life. Thank you all for your time. Give God some praise. Give God some glory. For this is Resurrection Sunday, a time of rejoicing. God bless you. Come on, Tammy, with a song.
Your holy Son, no sin to hide. Yet you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty side and to become the Lamb of God. Your gift of love they crucified, they left and scorned him as he died. Your humble king they named a fraud and sacrificed the Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, love you, Holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in your precious blood. My Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died. But you have brought me to your side to be led by your staff and rod. And to become a Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love you, Holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in your precious blood. My Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in your precious blood. My Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Amen.
Lamb of God. Lamb of God. Guaranteed life. We appreciate you, Pastor, for reminding those of us who have trusted in the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah, for everything he is and was and will be to be our Savior. Just that reminder that we have guaranteed life. You were preaching, and at some point I got to thinking about what it means, and those are, many of you are probably familiar with something like this. You buy a product, and you purchased a little 2, 3, 4 year warranty, and eventually, like most stuff that man makes, it breaks, and some entities will require that you go and find that paperwork that guarantees that they're responsible for fixing it. And you get in a panic trying to figure out where you put it, where it is, this washer's broken, this TV's broken, but I know I have a guarantee on it, a warranty on it. I need the paperwork. And Pastor was preaching about our guaranteed life, and I couldn't help but think that Jesus Christ gave us a remembrance, something that would remind us that we have guaranteed life. In fact, he said, when you participate in this thing, you do it remembering me. And that thing that he gave us to remember him by is the table. And right now, I'm glad that I get to rejoice in and revel in the guaranteed life. And I'm glad that I get to be reminded of the guaranteed life by sharing the table with you all. So I would like to read a couple of verses of scripture familiar to most of you from 1 Corinthians 11. That's going to set our hearts in the right place to appreciate the table that is before us. And while I'm reading, maybe you could be preparing not just your physical table, but your heart as we partake of the Lord's Supper together in a minute. Here is the scripture verse. We'll read the verse and we'll pray. And then we will receive the Lord's Supper together. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23. These are Paul's words. Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. When he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way," Paul went on to say, "he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. And then a passage that will lead us into prayer. Paul said in verse 27, whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. So Paul reminds us, verse 28, let a person examine himself then, and after that examination, eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So if you would, as you have, I trust, prepared your table from bread that you have and from fruit, juice of the vine, let's examine ourselves. And you know you better than anybody. I'm going to ask that every one of you would just, in the silence, give whatever thing that you or the enemy of your soul would be holding against you and making you believe that you are unworthy. I want you to just let it go. Cut that thing off. Give it to Christ Jesus. Give it to him. This table is open to believers, and yet there's still room. So if you just a second ago didn't even know, I don't even know if I'm saved, Pastor has already told you, confessing that you're a sinner, believing Christ Jesus to be the substitute for your sin, and receiving him for everything he is, was, and forever will be, you're in. Now the table, you're invited to the table. So prepare your heart to receive the Lord's Supper by just confessing your sin, praying in the silence, and then I'll close us in prayer and we'll receive the Lord's Supper. God, sanctify this moment. Sanctify the spaces that we find ourselves in. Set apart, make holy the bread that we have before us. Sanctify, set apart, and make holy the juice that we have before us. We just ask that you would bless it for how we have prepared it, namely to receive it to your glory, God. But more than that, we need you. We ask of you to, in the same way you've prepared the table, prepare our hearts to receive you. Let that preparation begin by you forgiving sin. Right now, God. For your glory, we surrender all. Forgive sin, God, that we might receive this moment, that we might engage in this time, that we might partake of the table in a way that is worthy, in a way that brings you glory, in a way that causes us to remember. We've confessed, and yet we confess again. We are broken, we are but dust, but you have declared that we are alive in you. We lean on and depend on, celebrate, revel in that living hope. We lean on, depend on, revel in, celebrate guaranteed life that we have in heavenly places with you. We ask that you would receive us now in a worthy manner, a way that brings you glory, a way that honors your name. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. Scripture records that on the night when our Savior was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And after he'd given thanks, he said, this is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us eat together. In the same way, took the cup. This is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you do show forth my death, burial, and resurrection until I come again. Let us drink together. The Bible says that the believers sang a hymn and they walked out. Thank you, Lord, for Resurrection Sunday.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And no.